Welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert.
Freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with a good friend of the show, Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters Movie. He and his wife, Jess, recently experienced Room Escape Southend, their online escape game. Obviously, we are in the days of lockdown and quarantine. It's crazy times, but we don't like to talk about that too much here on Scare Track. We're trying to keep this a COVID-19 free place where we want to talk about some fun scare stuff, some stuff we've done in the past and stuff that we're looking forward to doing in the future. But as for the now, we are finding new ways to entertain ourselves, and fair play to Room Escape Southend and some other escape rooms as well. They've done this now, but they're doing online escape rooms. Now, what would normally happen is myself and Hannah would do this and report back on our experience. However, I don't know if you guys have seen other stuff we've done when it comes to escape rooms, but either we're really thick or we just do not work well as a team, because we're not very good at them. We've only done a select few in the past purely because we're not very good. We're fantastic at scare mazes and haunted houses. Do you want to know why? Because you don't need to do anything but scream, laugh and cry. Whereas with an escape room, you're doing all the work. So we thought Dan and Jess, they know what they're doing. They are filling their time in quarantine with lots of different cool, scary stuff. Dan's making some masks. I know they're doing some other horror sort of stuff as well. So we thought it'd be a perfect opportunity. Let's get Dan onto the show again and talk all about Room Escape Southend. Very excited to get him on. Before we do, guys, I hope you're all well and safe. Remember, stay at home and all that palaver. We will be out the other end after this weird time of life. As far as Scare Track's concerned, we have our Patreon episode going out on the 1st of the month. So the 1st of May, we will be releasing our Patreon episode. If you want to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/ScareTrack. You get to join our secret Facebook page. You get the exclusive episode each month, a little bit extra over on our Facebook page as well. And it really does help us keep the show running. It helps support the show, whether it goes to paying for the monthly subscription to have it online, or to, you know, the website. Oh, the website cost a bomb. So anything you can do that really does help us out. If you can support us in any way, the best way is over on our social media pages. Just go to just search for Scare Track on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat or Facebook. Give us a like, a share, a comment, that'd be fantastic. We're going to try and do a little bit more video stuff over the next few weeks as well, so be sure to subscribe to us on Scare Track on YouTube. That's youtube.com/ScareTrack, or you can find absolutely everything, including our merchandise sales, on www.scaretrack.co.uk. So yeah, there we go. I think it's time to do the interview with Dan. So without any further ado, it's myself interviewing Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters all about Room Escape Southend.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going?
All good, man. Loving the government-enforced staycation.
Absolutely. You're keeping yourself busy, which is half of the reason why we wanted to get you on to the podcast. I mentioned to all the listeners in the intro, myself and Hannah, we've tried online escape stuff before and escape books and things like that. And even when we weren't in lockdown, we did a few escape rooms. But we end up just arguing because we're either not very smart or just not very good as a team. And I think that you and Jess probably just work better as a unit rather than me and Hannah. And you have been keeping yourself occupied with some escape room / horror haunted stuff, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah, well, I'm sculpting a mask at the moment.
That as well, yeah. So, you know, we've got a few things to talk about. And the main thing I wanted to talk about was something you said was awesome. Room Escape Southend, they're a award-winning escape room attraction. They often do some scary escape rooms as well, some horror-related ones. Obviously, since COVID-19, they've had to close down and they've had to change the way they make money, basically, and the way they run their business. So they've made everything online. So, Dan, without giving, obviously, too many spoilers or too many... Well, any spoilers, really, how would you describe the whole experience with Room Escape Southend? Was the booking process easy? Was it easy to log on online? How was the actual game? Give us, you know, spill the beans on Room Escape Southend.
I mean, it was awesome. I thought it was very easy to do. They sent you a link. They gave you... it's really hard to think what spoilers are. I don't think it's a spoiler. They send you a bunch of info beforehand from the doctor. Here's his document, here's this, here's that and the other. And it's what I like about what they did is it's, I hate, there's got to be a different word for immersive.
Because people using that a lot, aren't we?
And it's just, and it's not, there needs to be a nice word for reality altering.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what it is. Because these documents they send you, you read through it and go, huh, that's quite cool. That's quite fine. But it's actually part of the game.
Mm.
So later on, they, again, it's really hard to talk about spoilers, but they'll sort of go, oh, blah, blah, blah. And you go, hang on, I remember something about it. And you'll look back at the notes and the notes will mention something that triggers your brain something else and helps you solve a riddle. So even before, I remember in the documentary, R Space Productions with Death Cell did this, where they said even before, even buying the ticket, and once you get the ticket, you're already involved in the game before you even get close to the building. And that's kind of what these guys have done.
Nice. Okay, that's good.
So even when you've stepped into the game, you're already 10 steps into it because you've got all the background info and you've got all, you know, you've been immersed into this world already. So you're already there.
Nice. Okay. And when you are there, so when it's online, did you have to download some sort of video thing like Zoom or Skype or anything like that? Or was it just direct with their website?
I believe it was a Zoom link. Now, my lovely wife is a tech genius in this relationship. She's the one who did it. But yeah, I think they definitely sent us a link. I think it was Zoom.
Awesome. Okay. But everything was simple enough to get on there.
Yeah, no problem at all, no problem at all.
Awesome. And I'm guessing because, I haven't done it myself, but am I right in saying they have sort of a person in the room basically being the first person of you, like you asking what to do in terms to do things as they do it?
Yeah, essentially, it's the whole reality-altering aspect of it, is you are controlling a quote-unquote android.
Right.
And quote-unquote android will follow simple commands and can also give hints when needed.
Nice. Okay.
So it's that. So you feel, oh, look to the left, look to the right, look to the book. Can you pick this up? Look under there. And the quote unquote android will do it. And if you're really stuck, the very lovely android can give you suggestions. Which came really handy at times.
Sounds like my sort of game, actually, because I get stuck all the time. We've done a few things online before, myself and Hannah, and we've done something like the curse experience, where you can go online and do it at any time, sort of at your leisure. Because you were controlling someone to do this game for you, was it at a set time that you had to be on, and how long did you have to do it?
Yeah, you're given set time, like we booked in for 7 o'clock. But one of the really good things I like about it is they say you can have as many mates as you want. It's £30. Now, generally, it'd be £30 per person for the game.
Yeah.
Where these guys, I think maybe a little bit more, but it's roughly £30. And they're like, if you want other people to join, just send them the link.
Oh, wow.
So, like, just say, I said, Mikey, you free on 7, you went, yeah, right. to you fans. Actually, I think I did. You were working.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But that you can have your mates across the world even, which is great, because not only is this good now, and that is one of the, I mean, this is a horrible, horrible thing. So when I say there's good things coming from it, I don't mean to make light of the nasty things that come from it. But the use of this technology is binding the world in ways that are so obvious we hadn't thought of before. Like, if you have an escape room, which I can do with you, we can go down there physically, but I've got my mate in America. I fancy doing an escape room with him. This technology allows you to do that because you just send them the link. So you could actually do escape rooms with your mates in other countries.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I see continuing.
Yeah, they really should, because for that, and even if they've got a spare room set up there, and it doesn't happen very often, it would be nice for you to go, oh, my best mate moved to Australia. I fancy having a game with him. You can still connect and have these experiences together.
Definitely. And it's something that they could probably take to another level. I mean, there's a few escape rooms doing it at the moment, this whole online escape room. I'm pretty certain Room Escape were one of the first. The guys at Southend really are one of the innovators when it comes to escape rooms, especially here in the UK. Like I say, they're award-winning. They're always receiving the highest of reviews, and they're constantly changing their rooms out. But there are a number of places doing these online escape rooms, which is great. And like you mentioned there, you could do an escape room from the comfort of your own home with friends in Australia or America or France or wherever. But just going on from that, you could extend that to when all these lockdown rules are over and this whole world turns to some sort of normality. There's scope to then, potentially you and Jess could go to this escape room, and you could still have some sort of video link to me and Hannah 100 miles away from you. And we could join you whilst you're so basically you become the android, but you have your thoughts and we could do the same to you, and you have a little earpiece in or a little two-way Skype sort of conversation. And again, I don't know exactly how they'd do it, but there's definitely got to be scope to extend this sort of this sort of way to use the technology in more than one way.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, I mean, in the documentary, I keep banging on about the ingenuity and inventiveness of the UK haunt scene. And this is just another beautiful example of that.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's...
That would be amazing. I didn't even think of doing that. But yeah, but if I had, like, we had an earpiece.
Yeah.
And a camera, you could be like, oh, Dan, you didn't look over there properly. Check that.
Exactly. You're literally just extending it to more people. And again, then it could be, say, if it's... I don't know, say you and Jess go there and it is £30 per person to do this escape room, but you do have Mikey and Hannah up here in Telford, or you do have someone in America, there could be just an add-on for an extra £5 per person to have an earpiece and a GoPro.
And also, that would help the advertising, because then people in America go, wow, we did this really cool thing in England, and they're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it just opens it up, opens the market. So, I mean, fair play to the likes of Room Escape Southend and all the other places doing these online things. And I've seen them popping up on, obviously, the computer and my phone and whatnot. But I definitely think even when we get back to normal, during the times, for example, you know, these escape rooms are busier after school and after work times. In the day times on a random Tuesday, they're relatively quiet. It is something that they could open up to a market where people, you know, it's the afternoon rather than the morning in Australia, you know. So the possibilities are endless there, because you could just extend your opening hours. You can extend your target market to anyone in the world.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, England has a different flavour to America, to France, to anywhere else. So it's, you can experience the way other countries do these things as well, which is also really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like you say, it's the UK haunt scene changing with the times, using their initiative and basically surviving in any way we can during this COVID-19. And, you know, this isn't anything to do with the Scare World as such now, but there's UK farm parks, Tully's Farm, National Forest Adventure Farm with Screamfest, Fear at Avon Valley with Avon Valley Adventure Park. they're all currently forced to be closed. So that what they've done, they've gone back in time, what they used to be 50, 60, 100 years ago, and they're farm shops. They've recreated their farm shops, and now they're drive-through farm shops. So, yeah, the people in our industry really are some of the best. So hats off to them, and especially, you know, with you discussing RuneScape Southend, hats off to Wayne and all the team down there, because I haven't had a chance to go yet, but I've heard they do cracking jobs in real life, and you're saying they do a cracking job online as well.
Yeah, and the best thing is, when I remember the first possibly 10 minutes, I was really regretting it. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was with Jess. The thing is, I'm quite good. When Jess panics, I level out.
Yeah.
Which is possibly why we're a good team. When we did the first escape room we did, we got to 5 minutes. So I went, well, we're going to lose, but let's have a laugh.
Yeah.
So I kind of level out. So, but I was thinking, man, I'm regretting this. I'm regretting this. I'm regretting this. This was a dumb idea. And then something just clicked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, yes. And just got it. And I think that is just, I think that is kind of the beauty of the way the escape room was laid out, is it did, it wasn't so laid out that you went to, oh, blah, 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 I've got it. Mm. But you, when you started rolling, you did pick up steam and get more and more involved. So it wasn't like, oh, this is easy, that's over there. You do generally panic at first because it looks super, super difficult. It is relatively difficult, but it's still, it's got a, I'm trying to say, it's got a very, very nice difficulty balance.
That's
for
good.
Someone, especially who's not done a hell of a lot.
Yeah, that's good. Cause, yeah, because you and Jess and hadn't done that many, had you?
We literally, because when I was doing a documentary, escape rooms largely, I know it didn't reach out to Escape Room South End, but the London escape rooms are largely very, very secretive about discussing anything, or the ones that were interested never really got back to me. So I didn't really touch on escape rooms very much.
Yeah.
And only really got into them literally just before this lockdown happened. I even remember on the way to the one, which was called, I believe it was Enigma Escape.
Okay.
They gave me a badge, which I was very pleased with. On the way there, we passed the Tesco's, and I said to Jess, oh, let's nip in and look for some loo roll. So, I mean, it was, you know, it literally just started getting into them. And then the next week, and then I was like, wow, we'll do this every month, we'll pick a different room. And then, yeah, the next week it went bang.
Yes, yeah, the whole world went screwed up.
The whole world became an escape room.
So you've obviously been doing lots of different stuff at home as well. You mentioned to me before we listen, well, actually, before we get onto this, Room Escape Southend, I'm guessing you would recommend it to anyone else.
I would, yeah. I think not only was it cool, and we won as well. So far, we'll get onto this, but we're kind of 3-for-3, because so far I've done three different ones. I've done actually in an escape room, I won. The virtual escape room, I won. And the next one, I won. So I'm actually, yeah, I think they're great. I think the guy who runs it was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of difficult. You've got to pretend to be an animatronic. So you can't, and it's really weird because once we'd completed it, he suddenly turned really chatty and it almost threw me. I was, oh God, you actually, you know.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, you're actually a really nice guy. And I think he did a very good job of not giving, saying, look, you dumbass, look there.
Yeah.
Can't you say? So he was good at giving hints, but still within the same character. So it didn't break characters, like, maybe you should look over there, you idiot. And it was quite fun, and it was really fun with him as well. But when we finished, we were talking about, we missed stuff. He said, do you know what's really funny is sometimes you're so goddamn close and you actually solve things
right
by a leap of logic once or twice, rather than, he said, this is what you should have done. We're like, oh my God, why did we get that? I said, yeah, that's what I was thinking, but you solved it anyway. And he kind of went through some of the things that people find difficult and kind of explained the process a bit.
Yeah.
So after, we kind of got a bit of a debrief about how the room was laid out. And, you know, being a great lover of behind-the-scenes stuff, I thought it was amazing and just really nice of him just to give you a bit of time and go, oh, yeah, you know, this is kind of how this is all laid out. I thought he was great. I think the company's great, and I would. And I actually just found out they do another one. I thought that was their only one. So I was actually chatting to Jess thinking, man, he's got to do this other one.
Yeah, they've got, at the minute, I think they've got three. They've got, checking out their Facebook, as of time of recording, they got The Right Key, The Virus, which is the one you did, and Once Upon a Time. So it looks like they've got three. Whether or not all three of them are available online, I'm not too sure right now. But It looks like they are by the looks of their website. So if you want to get tickets and do this online, guys, their website is www.roomescapesouthend.com. That's roomescapesouthend.com. And take it from Dan. They seem like they're doing absolutely fantastic. They've won 2 Scare Awards from ScareCon 2017 and 2019. So
that's not surprising.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's awesome. I'm jealous. I haven't got down there, but like I said at the beginning, me and Hannah are too thick for escape rooms. So while you've been at home as well, Dan, you're saying that you've done something else, something that made you proper scream. Was it Exit the Game?
Exit the Game, yeah. Again, who is it who keeps on posting about these things? Is it Scare Directory? I believe it's Scare Directory.
Maybe so.
Because they're doing all this sort of nonsense. I think I follow them on the UK Hornet site, and I just basically copy what they do. but yeah, it's Exit the Game, and it is escape room in a box, essentially.
Okay.
I tend to call them board games, but they're not. So each one's got a difficulty level. It's 1 to 5, novice to expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously went for the horror-related one and the theme park horror-related one called the Haunted Roller Coaster. So what you do is you get this box and you open it up and it's basically got a little booklet, mm-hmm. and a deck of several cards and a decoder and a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
And then the book tells you the story, just stuck in the roller coaster. But also you get an app which plays atmospheric background music, which is super, super cool.
That's
again,
cool. Yeah,
completely
I like that.
Reality bending. And you go through the book and it tells you the story, and each story bit's got a page, and you'll either have to work out the puzzle on the page, or okay. the page will tell you to do something, which you then have to interact with something that came in a box, or it's one of the deck of cards, or I mean, it's just, it's so hard to explain about giving away, but essentially it just comes with a bunch of stuff and you can't get, it's a one-time thing,
okay.
which is very important because you have to tear things apart. You have to rip things apart, put them back together, cut things out. And it's just, and it's stuff like, I'm really rambling because it's so good, but it's like, there's one point and they have, the best thing is they have hint cards. They have 3, mm-hmm. hint 1, hint 2 and solution. So if you're really, really stuck, it gives you a solution. Now the solution essentially is, it's you get a 3-digit code.
Okay.
For the 3-digit code, you use the coder. You put in, just say the page has the star at the top. You go to the coder, thing with a star, you it's a dial, so you put in the 3 digits and the bottom hole reveal a card. If that's a wrong thing, the card will say wrong code, try again.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a right one, it will have a list of pictures saying where did you, with a picture of the page, where did you see the star on this page? And if where you saw the star on the page is correct, it brings you to another one which says, well done, turn the page.
Right.
Now, the thing about this, which makes it so goddamn interesting, you have to tear the box apart. The box doesn't survive.
Mm.
Like some of the things, you have to look at the box. The box will tell you the next clue.
Wow, okay.
So it's not just the book. It's not just the cards that come with a book. It's, you have to look at the box. I mean, you'd never think of looking at the box.
Because
somewhere within the back of the box, which tells you bits of the story, there's a hint, and you're like, oh my god, even a box is included. It's just like, and it just takes you, it's just so amazing. And and one bit literally made me scream. It was, I'd love to tell you what it is, but I really want people to go and buy this game. It's only £13 a game.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking online. I've just typed it in, Exit the Game, and it's come up with loads. So you did the Haunted Roller Coaster one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's coming up at $13.95, and that's not, you know, that's not expensive at all for a great.
It's not. I mean, the thing is that people, I mean, that was, has a couple of pints in a London pub. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's less than a Five Guys meal, and you've got 2 hours to complete it. I think we took about an hour and a half.
Sweet. So, you know, you're getting a good bit of entertainment out of it.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different ones if you enjoy that one. There's one here called The Sinister Mansion, The Secret Lab, The Polar Station, The Sunken Treasure, Forbidden Castle, Dead Man on the Orient Express. Oh, my gosh, there's loads. There's literally...
And there's different levels of difficulty as well.
Right.
And also, it's the levels of clues. Like, one of them was... you had to cut out a book. It came with these pages, and you had to cut out a book and put it together. And it had ghosts, witch, pumpkin on one page and various different characters. And it'll say, the witch at the top here, this is completely made up, so I'm not spoiling it. Like I can remember this detailed information. But a witch at the top is purple, unless the pumpkin is at the bottom of the next page, in which case it's blue. So some of the riddles are real brain stretchers where you're trying to write down codes and blah. Whereas one was, I'm trying to say without spoiling, essentially you create a puppet.
Right.
And one of the cards has a certain things, and you say, feed the puppet the oranges on this card, how many grapes are left? Now, if you put the card in the puppet's mouth, so it eats, so it covers up the grapes, there's only a certain amount of oranges left. So that's one of the numbers for the clues. You know what I mean? It's so innovative.
Yeah.
And there's so much. And I swear to God, I'm really butchering the explanation of this. It's so hard. So once you've played it, it's so hard to do without just saying, this is cool. So if I told you how they did it, you'd be like, oh my God, that's really clever.
Yeah.
But I can't.
And people will get it and people will cheat.
Because I finished it and I was like, wow, you know, it makes you feel good that you've completed something.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it was genuinely scary. It was genuinely exciting. And all from a little, I keep calling it board game, which is not correct because there's literally no board involved, but it's a box with bits in it. But yeah, but it's so reality bending, so worth it, so much fun.
So definitely, again, something else that you would highly recommend doing.
Yeah, I bought two more.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. You have to let me know how those are. So it's good to know that you and Jess are definitely keeping yourself sort of occupied. Do you think that you're going to do more escape rooms online as well? Is it something that, did you find that it was something that was like, yeah, that was really, really good, but I don't need to do one again for a while? Or is it something that's got you hooked a little bit that you want to be trying out a few more?
Well, the board game, definitely. The escape room, yes. My only trouble with escape rooms is, and it's weird, because I'm 3 for 3, I've completed the live room, I've completed the distance room,
mm-hmm.
and I've completed the game. I didn't really get, I'm what's commonly known as a amazing loser and an awful winner.
Okay.
So this is why you should never play a board game with me if I'm competing with you. Because if I win, I'm like, yes, in your face. But if I lose, I'm like, oh, fair play.
Yeah. Okay.
So you could be in your face and I'll be like, no, cool, man, you won. You were better. I mean, I'm cool with that. But with escape rooms, because I've won the first three, I've got this weird internal pressure.
That you're going to really be kicking yourself if you don't win the next one.
Yeah, it's really weird. But at the same time, I enjoy, as I said, I'd never ever, I don't know what made me do them. I'd never really considered going into them. I think it's because we found one that's a horror-based.
Yeah.
But having said that, since we did that horror-based one, we were planning on going every month, and then the lockdown happened. So now, I think I'm still very horror-based. Like,
same,
my love of haunts is mainly horror rather than...
It's an escape, yeah.
Yeah. So the horror escapes, yes. There's I've actually got some lined up. There's one that must be good, because when I was looking at booking it before this all kicked off, I couldn't book till after July, like mid-July.
Bloody hell.
And even that July was quite booked, but there was an Alice in Wonderland one. They were all horror themed.
Nice.
And they had how scary they were as well as how difficult they were. So I thought, oh, so yeah, no, definitely. If there's horror themed ones, my heart is definitely in horror.
Yeah.
If there weren't horror themed ones and my mates were like, we're doing this, come along, I'd be hell yeah, definitely. But if it goes to me actually going out my way to discover ones, it would.
They have to have that other draw there of horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
the exit games, the ones I've got, the Mysterious Mansion and the this, that, and the other, they're all kind of spooky esque ones. That's what really draws me to them.
I think I'm the same. I have done horror related ones and. I don't want to say normal related ones, but I've done like a bank job one and a sweet shop one and things like that. And don't get me wrong, they are enjoyable, but it's something that I haven't chose to go and do. I've done it with a bunch of friends or some work colleagues. And again, escape rooms, that I know they're good and there's the quality there and the, again, using this word, but the immersiveness is there, the immersion. But for me, again, I just quite like a haunt because... I'm not lazy, but I don't need to do anything. I just need to enjoy it. But when it comes to horror, again, similar to you, that's the draw for me. So a horror escape room has more, there's more in it for me. I get more out of it. I mean, I said earlier that I'm not the best at escape rooms. I sometimes get annoyed with them and things like that, purely because I want the answer and I want it now. But some people say, what's one of your most favourite attractions you've ever done? I'll say Panic, which is made by Twisted Attractions in Birmingham, like 2015 or 16. And it genuinely was one of the best things I have ever done in my life. And it was 10 escape rooms in one.
Wow. So,
and you know, and that was, and thinking about it, like, one of my favorite things I've done is an escape room, but because it was so horror related, and that really was some crazy immersion. Like, you know, you went into one room and the water started rising, and you had to figure out a way before the water got too high, and it got up to our knees. Like, it's not one of those little paddling pool things. That it was literally, you went in, you had pipes. Pipes were burst. It was very much like a Crystal Maze style game.
Yeah.
You had one room like Saw. You had one room like an attic. That was for, and then you'd complete like one rather than having 20 or 30 different tasks within one room, you would have one task in that room, another task in that room.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So yeah, it was good. So it meant that you weren't constantly trying to get, you were constantly trying to get through to the next room, but once you figured out what you had to do in that one room, you knew you were going to get to the next.
Yeah.
And like I say, yeah, to have those, literally this one room, you basically go in through a little tunnel, and it's a really high tunnel. You get in, you're already covered in water from like up to ankles. And then just over time, you have to figure out how to get out before the water gets too high, basically.
Bloody hell.
Yeah,
that,
it's
that
good.
That does sound... That's weird, because that sounds panic-stricken. And the perfect... I think that's maybe what we put me off escape room. It's, oh, yeah, locks in a room. And I thought, oh, I don't like that. But once you're in it and your brain starts working, you get into it, you don't... It's not... They're not very claustrophobic, which I found quite weird. Mm. I didn't once feel... Because I'm not hugely claustrophobic. You know, I'd like haunts and stuff, but I don't like being locked in places.
Yeah.
That much, but they say, yeah, locked in a room. But it didn't affect me as if I was in a small room and they went, oh, you're locked in, bugger off somewhere. They're not as claustrophobic as you think, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's because you've got your mind focused on other things as well. Like, I've done a few escape rooms at Shrewsbury Prison, which is run by Immersive Events, IME. They had a, what is it called? A Brexit escape room. Yeah. And they had The Cell. And I've done a couple of their prison escapes, which is basically where you have to escape the prison. You have to become an inmate. You have to figure out codes, pass drugs on. Yeah, it's, you would love it, actually. I think, to be fair, you and Jess, it's like a 4 hour long, you're locked in a cell, you have to figure out how to get out your cell, then you have to figure out how to get out of your wing, you have to do all these different tasks. Again, it's not something that you can do online, but as soon as this lockdown's over, it's something that everyone should do. So yeah, I've done a few things, but a few times I've been in their cells, and their cells are small, and you are locked in, and there's no windows, you can't see out. It is like, literally, it's a real life prison cell. But even then, I didn't feel claustrophobic, because I was too busy looking for numbers, or too busy looking for patterns, or too busy, you know, listening to instructions or finding code. So yeah, I think it's a whole case of, if you can let your mind, or same with anything really, it's the moment of disbelief, isn't it? And I think what we're trying to get at on this episode is that you can still do that whilst looking at your computer screen. You don't have to be within the actual place.
Well, yeah, it's the thing. That's with anything. It's with the game as well. I mean, I was sitting at my, I'd say dining room. I don't know what room is, but for argument's sake, I was sitting at the dining room table with Jess with this atmospheric thing in the background. And that's what I think, that's where the buzz comes from, is when you finish and you hit reality again, you're like, oh man, oh, I'm back here. You realize how immersed you've been.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the buzz comes from. You go, oh shit, that was, then you realize how amazing it is. It's like winning the race. You don't get the buzz running the race because you're fucking pegging it, trying to get
yeah.
Once you've won and you get part, then you're, oh, and I think that's the thing with escape rooms, the real excitement is when you finish it and you go, oh man, yeah, I did it. Or, and then your brain starts thinking, oh yeah, when that happened, we did this and we tried that, and reflecting on it, I think, yeah, it's just, yeah, I've got to admit, I'm a bit of a fan.
Yeah, no, that's good. And you can see the sort of crossover there between what we're both really into, haunts and escape rooms. The euphoria sort of comes at the end once you're out. You laugh about it, or you point at your friend that got really scared by that clown, or you're all wet because you got a water spray on you, so you're laughing about that. It's similar, like you say, it's not actually going through it. You're experiencing it whilst you're going through the maze, or whilst you're doing the online escape game or the real life escape game. But it's the sort of euphoria and the happiness or the laughter
appreciation
afterwards.
As well. Because once you're out of it, then you appreciate it and start looking back at it and go, oh, that was so amazing, that was so amazing.
Definitely. It's all about the immersion. And it's a bit like when you go to a movie screen or a movie theatre, that's when I find myself fully immersed, because I'm forced to put my phone away. I'm in quite a comfy seat. I've got a good seat here right in front of a massive IMAX screen. So for 2 hours, I can let myself believe that Thanos is going to kill half the population.
Yeah.
And I think what's great is that these games, providing that you let yourself go a little bit, you can keep yourself, again, immersed within the attraction that you're doing. And it's good to know, after speaking to you as well, that you can still get that even though you're doing it on your laptop or your iPad or on an app and you've got this exit game. It's good that you can find these ways to do it without being in real life, without going outside.
And the thing is, I mean, it's like everything in this sort of, like, is there haunts and escape rooms really genre? There they are now. Yeah. They're all genres. In this genre, it's like anything. You get out what you put in.
Yes.
If you're going to sit there and go, God, this is just a game, then you're not going to get anything out of it. If you let yourself go, you'll get so much more out of it.
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree with that. And that's the same with a lot of the stuff that we talk about. Obviously, me and Dan, we talk about the movies. Just suspend your disbelief for a little bit. Or when you go to a haunted house or a scare attraction, if you let yourself go, be more involved, you'll get more out of it. And that's most important, definitely, when it comes to these escape room style events and games.
So if you're the sort of person who goes to haunts and goes, you're not scary, this is not the thing for you. Because,
yes,
don't go there and be a smart ass, because you're wasting
bugger off
time.
Home. Or we'll get some mass killer to kill all of you, like in Hellfest.
Oh, love that film.
And that'll be the next episode Dan's on. We're going to be talking all about Hellfest. But we need to wrap this one up first. Dan, before we go, I mean, first of all, thank you for letting us know about all the sort of horror/escape room style stuff that you and Jess have been getting up to during these days of lockdown. What else have you been doing to fill your time? I know you've been sculpting.
I make masks. I don't really sell them because I can't be bothered. But if you go onto my Instagram, whatever, and like them, I'll gladly sell them. But yeah, I make Halloween masks because I absolutely love sculpting. I think it's very therapeutic. I love the entire process from sculpting with clay to making a mold to spray painting them. I've just finished two of these. It's imagine a slasher villain who was at a kid's playground who made his mask out of a kid's fairground duck.
Okay.
I think it's the best way. And I literally just finished painting those today.
Nice.
So yeah, a lot of sculpting, which I absolutely love. A lot of watching horror films, a lot of board games.
Sweet.
There's one that I would particularly advise called Terrified, which is based on the Universal Monsters.
Oh, nice.
Co-op game, which is absolutely so much fun. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I'm the king of entertaining myself, man. This is just a staycation to me.
Yes. Well, that's why it was perfect to get you on, really. Like I said, me and Hannah, other than me painting the entire house, we've just been boring as hell at home, doing nothing, not really talking to each other, which is great. It's good, she keeps to her room and I keep to mine. But yeah, no, it's cool that you're keeping yourself busy, getting yourself loads of stuff done. And I'm guessing the next escape room style thing is the one you've booked in June, was it?
No, I didn't book it because everything went nuts.
Bugger, yeah, of course.
Initially, we were having a debate. We said, because what happens, Jess paid for the escape room and I paid for dinner. And I said, look, once a month, let's find another horror escape room. One of us pays for that, one of us pays dinner. It's roughly the same thing. And then, then Thanos clicked his fingers and the world fell to crap. The next escape room thing I'm doing is I bought after that, after completing the haunted roller coaster, I went on Amazon and bought a couple more of those games. Which is actually really funny because the guy sent me the wrong game at first. So I said, contact the seller. And he said, look, don't worry, mate. I sorted out the proper one. It's all cool. And got chatting to him. After playing the first one, I actually convinced the seller to start playing the games. He's like, they're that good. I was like, yeah, man. He said, oh, I don't play them. I just sell them. I was like, no, play them. They're amazing.
Sweet.
Well, so he convinced the seller to start playing the game.
No, yeah, it makes sense. He knows what he's selling
but
now.
My point being is, I bought another two of those. The Lost Island and the Mystery House.
I think it was Mystery House.
And any sort of horror-esque, supernatural-esque, possibly creature-esque ones I could find. So that will probably be this weekend of the guys. Because awesome. I'm getting a little bit addicted to escape. I've got to admit. If there's any online horror escape rooms, if anyone could let me know at my Instagram, UK Haunters, or UKHaunters_movie, I think is... You really think I should know this thing. But I'm read up. I'd do another one of those if I could find another horror one in a heartbeat.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So if there's anyone listening to this podcast now that knows how Dan or, well, any of us can spend time at home feeling fully immersed within these escape rooms / horror style games, escape games, quizzes, absolutely anything, let us know. Obviously, let us know on the normal Scare Track handles, but also Dan on on Instagram, UKHaunters_movie. That's the best place to let him know. And where are your masks, Dan? Is that on your personal page?
My personal one, which is Brand B Corp.
Yeah, Brand B Corp. And I can see this crazy, scary duck-looking mask right in front of me.
And I think it's actually really well. The whole point of this mask was one of the big issues I have with masks is you can't eat or drink with them.
Mm-hmm.
These are correct mouths. So this one is specifically designed to sit over your mouth.
Course,
so it covers up the top half of your face and your mouth, but you can still go out partying and eat and drink wearing it.
Perfect. See, so it's not only terrifying, it's also convenient. Connoisseur.
Practical as well. Practical horror, that's what we like.
Absolutely, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I think that wraps it up pretty nicely. Like I say, guys, be sure to join Dan on social media, especially with UK Haunters. It's UKHaunters_movie. And on Facebook, it's UK Haunters. So, Dan, that brings us to the end of this interview. A huge thank you for coming on as usual. Looking forward to talking about Hellfest for our next movie review. Because you're a lover, and I'm not going to say I'm a hater. I think I need to watch it again. I must have been in a bad mood.
I will happily watch it again.
A big in-depth one about that. But other than that, stay safe, and I'll chat to you soon, buddy.
Cool. Catch you later, man.
You're listening to
Scare Trap. So, first of all, a huge thank you to Dan for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast, and he'll be back on shortly when we discuss our next movie in our movie review series. If you haven't seen them yet, go over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ScareTrack, and you can find our playlist for movie reviews. There are mini movie reviews. We do an instant movie review after we watch the movie, and we're doing not just any horror, it's all the subgenre horror of haunted house / escape room / scare attraction style subgenre horror films. We do a mini movie review over on our YouTube channel, and then we get Dan onto the Scare Trap podcast and we really delve deep into it. We've already done Haunt, and we've got a few films coming up as well, so very excited about that. That's it for the Scare Trap podcast. Remember, you can join us on all our social media pages. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Trap. Now is the time to be proper interacting with us. We are loving seeing all your scare cams that you've sent into us. And if you haven't sent one in yet, guys, be sure to scare your friends and family, whoever you're in lockdown with. Get it on video and send it us so we can put it on our next episode of Scares at Home. I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. There's nothing else for us to delve into right now, except for remember to join us over on our social media pages. Be sure to subscribe, and thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Bye, guys.